You're listening to The Profile.
Hi, and welcome to The Profile podcast. I'm Andy Peck. For the last 19 years, it's been my joy to investigate how Christians can lead better by talking to a variety of Christian leaders inside and outside the Christian world. So whether you are in a leadership role or simply looking to maximize your influence for God, I hope you find this next conversation helpful. The show is brought to you by Premier Christianity, the UK's leading Christian magazine. Get full online access and the print magazine every month by becoming a subscriber. See special offers available now at premierchristianity.com. It has over 10,000 miles and transports a total of 1.7 billion passengers in a year. I'm referring to the rail network in the UK, which since the Victorian era has been a major part of the infrastructure of the UK and vital for UK industry. But if you travel by rail, you will know of the tensions between the UK government and some of those that work on the railway. Indeed, the rail union, ASLEF, which represents some 20,000 plus train drivers, have had a mandate to initiate strike action over paying conditions. And having started in July 2022, this has been the longest series of strike actions in the industry's history, and is believed to have cost the rail network £750 million. Things seem to have reached an impasse with no further talks between the union and government planned, and some believing it may take a change of government before any resolution is reached. We make no comment about the rights and wrongs of the dispute, but it has put the railways in the spotlight and gives me an excuse to talk with someone who works to serve the railway community. In the year 2000, Liam Johnston joined the railway mission as West Midlands chaplain and later became the executive director of the charity in 2002. The railway mission has staff across the mainland UK rail network and, among other things, seeks to provide chaplaincy support to those who work on the railways. So it's a joy to have Liam on the show today. So welcome, Liam, to the Leadership Show.
Thank you for having me.
So for those that are unfamiliar with the railway mission, what kind of things do you do?
Well, the railway mission was founded in 1881 with the purpose of reaching, as was then, railway men for Christ and bringing Christ to railwaymen. And essentially, that's still central to what we do. But of course, we're in a secular environment. We're there by invitation. So our way of operating has had to adapt and change. So the railway mission now provides pastoral care and support for railway staff and their families and members of the public that are what we term affected by rail operations. And I'll perhaps come back to that a little later on. But we're there to offer a listening ear, emotional and spiritual support, and practical help in times of need. We're there for staff during everyday challenges, major incidents, providing non-judgmental, pastoral care and support, and a source of comfort and guidance when people need it most.
Well, that sounds terrific, Liam. Bless you for being there. How did you yourself become involved? Are you a kind of railway fan yourself?
No, I've never had any interest in railways at all. In fact, I didn't see my first train until I was about 14 years old. So I wasn't brought up with the railway at all.
Right.
But my background was in retail. I was a bakery manager and ended up working with Tesco, but felt called into ministry. And the railway mission was a great fit for me and for my family at the time. They've all left home now, apart from my wife. She's still around. But all the kids have left home. And so, yeah, I just always had a passion for helping people and being there to support people. And the railway mission is that and more on the rail network.
Cool. Now, Liam, I appreciate you can't comment on the dispute itself, but how has the strike action played out and has it affected the morale of staff and recruitment to the rail service?
Yeah, well, as you say, I can't speak on the specifics of the dispute, but It's clear that such situations create significant stresses for railway staff and indeed for the travelling public as well. For our chaplaincy, what we're there to do is to work with the staff to support employees, whether they are on strike or not. We're there to support them. We're there to help people and listen to them. And of course, we've all heard stories about how people who don't strike are treated by those who do strike. And we're there to kind of try wherever possible to smooth over those differences. But we're also there to support those other staff on the railway who become the focus of other people's frustrations, the passengers or the management or whomsoever that may be. We're there to support them because they can become a focal point, especially of frustrated passengers, for them not being able to complete their journeys because another union has gone on strike, even when it's nothing to do with the union that they belong with, or indeed even a company that they're working for. So we're there to just to support people on that day-to-day kind of level of making sure that they've got somebody to listen to them, somebody to support them, somebody to advocate for them at times as well.
From what you said, Liam, it's clear that you serve everybody, regardless of faith or no faith. Do you find Christians particularly come to the chaplains to seek out their help?
Yeah, I mean, we are there for all faiths and none. Our work is for everyone. We do have Christians who come to us because of their faith, but actually, the vast majority of people that come to us have got no faith. But what they've got is a trust in a chaplain who has a relationship with them that has been built up over time, that is trusted and confidential and impartial. And they know they can come to us, they can talk to us, they can offload to us. It won't affect their job, it won't affect their relationships within the workplace. They know that they can share with us confidentially. And so we're there bridging those gaps and helping those individuals on what we term support on life's journey.
Liam, you mentioned that railway mission started in the late 19th century. Obviously, there have been tons of changes to the rail network in different ways, and obviously, in some of our living memories, going from being nationalised to independent companies running the rail network. I just wonder how these changes have affected your work, or whether, frankly, you just carry on being chaplains regardless of these changes.
Well, there's a bit of both. We do carry on being chaplains regardless of the changes, but we do sometimes have to change the way we operate. I mean, that was very, very clear during COVID. The way we operated during COVID had to change. And in some ways, that change has continued. There's a lot of people who are working remotely still. People that used to gather together in the large offices are now quite often working from home, maybe only coming in one day a week. So we're having to engage far more digitally with those individuals, using the joys of Teams or Zoom or whatever the system the company uses. We're also doing work with organizations for doing like video conferencing and training with members of staff. And just being there in whatever capacity can be, because we can't be there all the time face to face. So we have had to change and develop. In the old Victorian days, we could gather everybody together in a meeting room and have prayer meetings. That's completely changed. It's one-to-one pastoral care, and it's getting people together as groups online. But not for spiritual things, although that is the driving force, but actually it's getting people together for their health and well-being, building resilience, helping the workforce to become better at doing their job because we're helping them with their mental health. So we're meeting that need in order that people will say, why do you do this? And then we can answer, it's because of the love of Christ. It's the love of God that we have found. And then we can share the gospel. So the way things operate, the way things change over time, we have to adapt with it, but keep that fundamental drive of desire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people.
Liam, how does this happen sort of practically in terms of, do you have a uniform? Do the chaplains have a place that they go and an office maybe? Or how does it kind of, how do people connect?
Yeah, we don't specifically have a uniform. We have identification. So all the chaplains have railway mission identification. And then we also go through police vetting with British Transport Police. And all the chaplains are British Transport Police chaplains. So we also have the police chaplaincy ID as well. We have, some of us have, sweatshirts with the logo on, or wear a high vis with the logo on. So there's all sorts of ways of being identified. But ultimately, what we're doing is being there face to face, building relationships with people, making friendships, being trusted, being there as an individual rather than as an organization. But we're working for an organization. So we work alongside the chain of care within the industry, but we don't replace it, we supplement it. And we do that through personal relationships, reaching people where they work, the needs that they have at that time, and supporting them through the difficulties that they may be facing, and celebrating the good times as well.
Sure. And so that's largely on platforms in offices. How does it, where geographically are most of your chaplains based?
Yeah, so our chaplains have a geographical spread. So it is at railway stations, on platforms, in offices, signal boxes and signalling centres, police stations. It's wherever there are railway people, chaplains will go and they will visit. So it's a depot 1 minute, station the next, then a police station, signal box. It's absolutely everywhere. People are what's important. Not the places.
Now, Liam, I read on your site quite a staggering statistic that there's a death on the railways on average every 30 hours. And of course, there are a whole network of people affected when there's a fatality. And I just, perhaps you could just talk into the that issue and really the strain that might be on chaplains who are having
Yeah.
to engage in these really painful times.
Well, as I mentioned earlier on, we talk about supporting members of the public affected by railway operations. And that's really what I'm talking about. It's those tragedies on the railway. The vast majority of these tragedies are deliberate acts of self-harm, people taking their own lives on the railway. There are, of course, accidents. Occasionally, there are staff accidents. But the majority is suicide. Everybody kind of thinks immediately about the driver in those situations, but of course, you have the family of the individual. You have the onboard staff, you have the passengers on the train, you also have the network rail mobile operations managers who go to site to secure the area. For the police, you then have the police who go to recover the remains. You have the station staff that are perhaps involved. You have this the cleaners at the depots when the train has to go back to have, the remains removed that may still be clinging to that vehicle. There's a lot of people that are affected, and chaplains will go and talk to as many of those individuals as possible. But of course, chaplains themselves can be affected by the sheer scale of the task of dealing with all these people. So we try and make sure that our chaplains are looked after as well. And so chaplains look after each other. We also have access to the British Transport Police, EAP, and that's the Employee Assistance Programme, and also their TRIM, their trauma management. We also have our own, and Network Rail has theirs, and we've got access to all these. But the reality is so many people are affected that it works out about a third of our time is dealing with the aftermath of death on the railway, which is quite significant.
Yeah, absolutely. And Liam, every leadership has its nuances. What kind of things fill your week? What's a kind of good week for you, if you like, from a leading angle?
Well, for myself, a lot of it is about engaging with senior people on the railways. It's about strategy, but it's also about the governments, the charitable law. We're a registered charity. We're a company as well with Companies House. So we've obviously got all the legal governance and what have you that we have to follow. So my time is taken up very much with the strategy, with the engagement with senior people, and also the legal governance. Now, when it comes to the dealing with senior people within the railway, an example of that is just last week, I was asked to go to the British Transport Police Authority, the organisation that oversees and sets the budgets and targets for the British Transport Police, to go and talk to them and present to them about what we do so they can understand the support that we bring to their officers and to their staff. So our engagement is, well, my engagement is very much that sort of higher level, unless there is a major incident, in which case I then step into that role of on the ground coordination of support. So an event like we had at Manchester, when we had the bombing, for example, at the Ariana Grande concert, or indeed the train crash at Calmot up in Scotland a couple of years ago. At those times, I step into that role of being on the ground and coordinating. So my role really depends day to day on what the needs are and what's going on, whether it is hands-on or whether it is more strategic.
And I imagine, Liam, it's quite tricky to measure any outcomes. Obviously you'll have charity supporters who you kind of report to and share news of. It may not always be easy to say, well, we've done this in this month or this in this year.
Yeah, it is a tricky one because most of what we do is confidential. So being able to share direct stories that are confidential with people is quite tricky. But
Sure.
what we do, we do record our interactions, and we have a whole host of what we term key designations of why somebody was supported, what company they worked for, etc. So we are able to draw out some quite good data, and we've done a little bit of work with the Rail Safety Standards Board recently, where they've developed what they call a social value tool, where they can put into their system the outturn of any project. And that's designed with the government's Green Book in mind, for those that may know what that is, very complex set of rules for major projects. Well, RSSB put our data through there recently, and they worked out that for every pound Railway Mission spends, the rail industry benefits to the tune of £3.13.
There you
So
go.
actually, our input back into the rail industry, with all the work, the support, the mental health and well-being, all that kind of stuff, benefits the rail industry to the tune of over £1.8 million a year, which for a multi-billion pound industry is a drop in the ocean. But it just shows how a small organization like Railway Mission and other charities that are out there actually can make a huge impact. And Railway Mission As I say, we are constantly developing, we're constantly doing new things, but being able to put pounds, shillings, and pence in old money on the value of what we do is of real benefit to a secular organization that is trying to watch every penny they spend because they're under pressure from the Department for Transport and the Treasury, not to spend money, you know. So we are demonstrating that there is real value to what we do, and the support that we bring has benefits to everybody within the rail industry.
Oh, it's good to hear, Liam. The railway industry generates an emotional connection to what happens. Some adore travelling by rail, of course. There's those who love the history. They may be train spotters as a recreational activity. Does that kind of translate into a support for what you do at the railway mission? Do you find these people who are Christians support your work?
It does with some people. I wish it did with more. Unfortunately, we've got people who kind of like look at railway mission and say, "Well, I'm not interested in railways, so I'm not interested in supporting you." Whereas the reality is that if you're a Christian, you should be supporting organizations that are building kingdom, and that's what we're doing. We're trying to build the kingdom of God on the railway, and I do pray that Christians who are rail enthusiasts will understand there is real value to what we do and that we're there. We're showing the secular industry that God is good, Christians are normal, and we're worth having around. So I really pray that Christians out there who are rail enthusiasts will support us, because I wholeheartedly believe that the railway, if we're going to have revival in this country, the railway will be key to it. The railway is like an arterial network of a body. Bacteria and viruses spread through a bloodstream. The gospel can spread through the rail network because somebody working in Glasgow can travel down to London carrying that same message for work. We want people who are Christians who work on the railway or are rail enthusiasts to pray for us and help us to get the message out. God is good and Christians are normal and great people, and get that conversation going about why people need to know Jesus.
Wow, sounds terrific. And obviously, the rail network in that sense is similar to the Roman roads of the Apostle Paul's day, I guess, in that
Absolutely,
respect.
yes.
And so, how can people learn more and support what you do?
Well, we have a website which is railwaymission.org. People, you can go on there. You can ask to sign up for our weekly thought and prayer email. We also have a supporters magazine that we have on the site, which is digital, or indeed, if somebody wants it as a hard copy, if they sign up, we're happy to send it to them as well. So people can do that, or just search for Railway Mission, Railway Mission Chaplains, and have a look. If you use, whatever search engine you use, look on the news item and see what news items there have been read lately or in the past. Look at the things that we've done over the years that have got into the press, whether it's the railway or the secular or the Christian press. Have a look and see what's out there. But starting point has to be really the Railway Mission website itself.
And from time to time, you have vacancies, of course, for chaplains.
We do. We have one that we've been advertising at the moment, which is for part-time up in the northeast of England, based sort of like the Newcastle sort of area or County Durham. So the chaplain who's there at the moment, been with us for quite a number of years, she's now retiring, and we're looking to replace her. Now, at the moment, that's only a 3-day-a-week post. It's always challenging finding people who will work part-time, but we do have that position that's being advertised at the moment. And again, if you go to our website, scroll down to the bottom of any page, you'll see a link that says vacancies. Click on there and it'll take you to our vacancy page.
Well, Ian, it's been terrific to chat with you, and you know, thank you for opening a window on this part of the railway's work. It's sad that I come to you partly because of a strike, but it's a joy to hear more. And let's pray that the strike will be over very soon, and that things will be flourishing for those you work with. So, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
It was super to chat with Liam Johnston, the Executive Director of the Railway Mission, about the work that they do. If your travel is ever affected by a fatality, it's good to remember in prayer the family of those affected and the railway chaplains who are likely to be involved in supporting them. Liam mentioned the railwaymission.org, their website, where you can find a weekly digital magazine, or indeed order it in a print version. We've looked before at the value and importance of chaplaincy, and these men and women are certainly at the very sharp end of need with great opportunities, so I'm sure would value your prayer and interest. This is Andy Peck, your host, thanking you for your company and looking forward to the next time. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.